This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 18 من شهر ذي الحجة 1400 الأيدي على الطعام increasing the amount of hands on the food meaning rather than eating alone invite others to eat with you Rather than eating alone, invite others to eat with you. That's why it is my personal advice to the family, you know, to have this attitude and behavior and the culture of eating together. Because barakah is being placed in that food which people gather. The family should sit down and eat in one plate if possible, rather than everyone getting his own plate. Yeah, when you have everyone getting his own plate, most likely they are going to eat more than the norm. Yeah, most likely they are going to be eating more than the norm. So it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eat together and also to have more people eating rather than individual eating their food. يقول النووي رحمه الله وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طعام الاثنين كاف الثلاثة وطعام ثلاثة كاف الأربعة. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the food, you know, that is prepared for two people is enough for three. You have something which is originally meant for two people, three people can eat and it can suffice them بإذن الله عز وجل. And وطعام ثلاثة كاف الأربعة. And the food which is prepared for, you know, three people, it is enough, insha'Allah, for four people. That's barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, this is, you know, tested. Yeah. What you eat alone, if you invite another person, bi'idhnillahi azza wa jalla, both of you can eat. And it can suffice you. If we are going to eat according to what Islam advises to eat in that way. Get it? Enough. So it helps you also to be moderate, yeah. Because usually when we take food, we take more than what we can eat, or more than what we should be eating. So the Prophet said, what you prepare for one person, you can invite another person. What you made for two people, you can invite a third one. What you made for three people, you can invite the fourth one. قَالَ وَعَنْ جَابِرِ بِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ طعام الواحد يكفي الاثنين وطعام الاثنين يكفي الأربعة وطعام الأربعة يكفي الثمانية جابر بن عبد الله said I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that the food which is prepared for one person is not for two people and that which is prepared for two people is not for four people and that which is prepared for four people is not for eight people Allahu Akbar SubhanAllah. So if you have this and you invite other people also to come and join you, you save your health and at the same time you get barakah being placed in the food and also you get reward by extending the risk to others. So this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that whenever we eat, we should invite others who are in need of that food. And as I said, families should be applying this at home because of the benefit that I had just mentioned. قَالَ بَابٌ أَدَبُ الشُّرْبِ واستحباب التنفس ثلاثا خارج الإناء وكراهية التنفس في الإناء واستحباب إدارة الإناء على الأيمن فالأيمن بعد المبتدئ. Imam al-Nawawi mentioned in the second or the next chapter the topic that discusses the adab of drinking water. What are the ethics and the adab of drinking water? And also it is mustahab that when a person drinks water, when he decided to breathe, he should breathe out of the cup. So you put your mouth, when you want to breathe, you shouldn't breathe inside, breathe outside. خارج الإناء وكراهية التنفس في الإناء, and it's also disliked for a person to breathe inside the water. واستحباب إدارة الإناء على الأيمن فالأيمن بعد المبتدئ. Okay, you have a big container, you know, or cup filled with water or milk or whatever. So you drink from it. So you want to pass it to the one who is next to you. And we're sitting like this, for instance. Yeah. So Abdurrahman start. He's supposed to give Haziq, not to give, because Haziq is sitting on his right side. So this is the meaning of wastihbabu at-tanaffus. I'm sorry, wastihbabu idaratul ina'i al-ayman fal-ayman. Go with the right. The right side of the one who started. That's why he said ba'd al-mubtadi, the one who started. Yeah. So he started drinking. He finished, he's satisfied, pass it to the one on the right. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves to start things with the right. Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعْجِبُهُ التَّهَمُّنُ فِي تَنَعُلِهِ وَتَرَجُّلِهِ وَطَهُورِهِ وَطَهُورِهِ وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ. She said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loves to start with the right side. With the right. She said when the Prophet ﷺ comb his hair, he started with the right side. When he's performing ghusl, also the right side. When he's wearing the shoes, also the right side. She said in every affair of the Prophet ﷺ, he loves to begin them with the right side. You get it? So that's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He loves to begin things. And since this is what he has chosen, it means it is mustahab for a person to do it. And this is the best way to live your life. Right, right, right. You know, especially when dealing with matters that are good, you should begin with the right. Because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. قَالَ وَأَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَتَنَفَّسُ فِي الشَّرَابِ ثَلَاثًا. Anas ibn Malik said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to breathe fish sharabi in drinking water. It doesn't mean inside the water. That's why now he says kharija ash-sharab, out of the container. But in drinking water he used to breathe three times. Meaning when he put the cup or whatever he is using, he drink and then stop and rest, you know, and then take again, and then rest, and then take again. And that's it. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't drink whatever he wants to drink at once. He cut it into three pieces. Yeah, drink, and then stop, and breathe. And then drink, and then stop, and breathe. SubhanAllah. The life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all about moderation. Yeah, that's why whoever claims moderation, other than the moderation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going beyond the boundaries, against the moderation actually. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما خُيِّرَ بَيْنَ شَأْنِ إِلَّا اخْتَارَ أَيْسَرَهُمَا. The path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the easiest path, the easiest way, the simplest way. If you look for something else, you're going to get into trouble. And you will get bored. Yeah. So that's why going above or below is against the moderation. The real wasatiyya and moderation is to do it in the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Because it's simple, very easy. In all the exaggeration of some of the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell them, cool down, cool down, cool down. Give them the easiest way. They can be maintaining it until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they can maintain until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why I make your life like this, inshallah. Your life will be an act of worship and full of barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah. Following the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has barakah all the time. And you will never regret, inshallah. And you are sure 100% that what you're doing is correct. You know. And what makes it so interesting is that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to live. And this is what Allah chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Chose for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why nowadays you have this one say this one say that. The best way is to avoid all of these conflicts and differences. Just ask, what was it done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the Hajjatul Wada'a, you know, when they came to Medina to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each one of them is saying, I just want to see, how is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to perform his Hajj? Ya Allah, that's the best method and behavior and attitude laid down for us to follow by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why they succeeded. They were there in the dunya, they heard the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, about them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is pleased with them and they're pleased with him. The first one is more interesting, right? Allah is pleased with them. Yeah. Because everyone can claim that he's pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but these are old claims. But the main issue is Allah pleased with you or not? Does Allah love you or not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. That's why a poet says, فَكُلُّ مَنْ صَحَبَهُ الرَّسُولُ حَازُوا بِهِ الْفَضْلَ فَهُمْ عُدُولُ. Anyone who happens to be a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they got all the virtues and the blessings, and they're all of them, with no exception, trustworthy. Yes, trustworthy. That's why according to the science of a hadith, when we reach a companion, when we get the sanad of the hadith, we're observing the scrutiny, right? To make sure that nobody is lying against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those narrators, each one of them is okay. Get it? When we reach the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, case closed. We close the page. No more talking. SubhanAllah. The scholar said, because Allah says he is okay with them, it's qillat adab for somebody among us to come and talk about the companions. And that's why those who are cursing the companions, if you're looking for qalilil adab in this dunya, those ones. Ya Allah. Even animals, if you do something good for them, they support you. And they show kindness to you. Against everyone, but not you. As well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَلَعْنَانْ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. And that's the beginning of the deviation. To touch the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a red light. وَلَيْسَ فِي الْأُمَّةِ كَالصَّحَابَةِ فِي الْفَضْلِ وَالْإِنصَافِ وَالْإِصَابَةِ. As Safarini says, there is nobody like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fil fadl, in terms of virtue, wallahi, it is a joke if somebody thinks that he can reach them. It's a joke, you know. You know Umar ibn Abdulaziz, right? You know, Umar ibn Abdulaziz. Even some scholars believe that he is the fifth Khalifa. Although this is incorrect. This is incorrect. The fifth Khalifa should be? Who is the fifth Khalifa? No. Al-Hasan bin Ali. You know. Yeah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the Khilafat al-Nubuwa. He said, thalathuna sana, 30 years of Khilafat al-Nubuwa. The one who completed this 30 years was Al-Hasan ibn Ali. He should be the fifth Khalifa. And number six is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Then you can go to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Yeah, if you want to put it in this way. But why people are looking at him in this way? Because they see the righteousness. The man is really, really somebody, subhanAllah. Managed to bring people back to their consciousness within 2 years. He lived with the Ummah for 2 years only in leadership. But he managed to bring them back to their consciousness. They remember those days, you know, in his time. And he was doing that with a few. But the good intention, good ikhlas, high determination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him with all of those. So some people think that he's better than Muawiyah. Subhanallah, one of the righteous scholars said, I never saw somebody got beaten by Umar ibn Abdulaziz. Umar ibn Abdulaziz beat him up. He said, except the person who told him, you are better than Muawiyah. He said, that was the first person I saw Umar ibn Abdulaziz beat. One of the righteous predecessors said, غُبَاعُرٌ دَخَلَ فِي أَنْفِ مُعَوِيَةٍ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ Umar ibn Abdulaziz. He said, one piece of dust that went into the nose of Muawiyah when he was fighting with the Prophet against the enemies of Allah is far greater than the deeds of Umar ibn Abdulaziz. SubhanAllah. One piece of dust, he says, that went into his nose is greater than the amal of Umar ibn Abdulaziz. You remember Rasulullah said, La tasubbu ashabi. Do not curse my companions. He says, because if one of you is to spend something that is similar than the amount of Uhud, of gold. We're talking about gold, not rice, not animal, gold like the amount of Uhud. You understand what does that mean, right? Mount of Uhud, you know how big it is, right? So big, so big, so big. Even some are saying it's around 5 kilometers. I don't think it reached that amount, but it's big mountain. You know, from house of Medina, you can see that mountain. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have a gold like this and you spend it for the sake of Allah with good intention, it will never be equal to one full hand of rice or wheat that is spent by one companion. His is more valuable than yours. The scholar said, Umar ibn Abdulaziz spent a lot. Aghna an-nas. He made people rich by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he's spending from whose money? From Baytul Mal, not his money. Even if he is spending from his money, he can never reach one mud of the companion. He wallah. These are the, our four parents. As he says, أُولَٰئِكَ آبَائِي فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِهِمْ إِذَا جَمَعَتْنَا يَا جَرِيرُ الْمَجَامِعُ He wallah. Nobody is like the companion. So he says, لَيْسَ فِي الْأُمَّتِكَ الصَّحَابَ فِي الْفَضْلِ In terms of virtues, وَالْإِنصَافِ And justice. E wallah. You will never see somebody who is more just than the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Hatred and enmity doesn't drag them to be unfair to somebody. That generation knows nothing except justice. You're Muslim, you're kafir, you're whatever you are, they see you within the eyes of justice. And that's it. These are the companions. Wal-isaba. Wal-isaba means being so accurate in terms of doing the right thing. In terms of knowledge, their knowledge is more accurate than ours. In terms of knowledge, their knowledge is more than ours. More accurate than ours. They're more knowledgeable than us. And they're more correct than us. No doubt about this. Yeah. Although we have some losers who will tell you, they are rijal and we are also rijal. What are you talking about? Which rajul? Which rajul? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and combine us with them, you know, on the day of judgment. So how did they get this virtue? Because they have one thing in front of their face, which is, what does Allah want from me? And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells me to do? That's it. That's why if you go around them, the amount of controversy among the companions, is it a lot? Very little. It's just about understanding what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. It's only in our time you have all of these differences and fightings and battles and hatred and all of these things. They collect and gather themselves around the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So try and make your life like this if you want to succeed and enjoy life. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ يَتَنَفَّسُ فِي الشَّرَابِ ثَلَاثًا Whenever he drinks, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to breathe 3 times. Meaning drink, stop first and breathe, and then drink again, stop again, and then drink. That's the most moderate way of drinking. You don't, you know, punish yourself. Because sometimes if you take longer, you know, by the time you remove it, you can see the way you're breathing. Yeah, logically you should understand that this is not good for you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to act in a normal way. Breathe in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to be breathing. But sometimes we drink, and then we stop after long periods of time. Then we face difficulty in terms of catching up our breathing. قال وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشربوا واحدا كشرب البعير ولكن اشربوا مثنى وثلاثة وسموا إذا أنتم شربتم واحمدوا إذا أنتم رفعتم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't drink whatever you are drinking at once, finish it at once. He said, don't do that. He said, make it mathna, twice, wathulatha, or thrice. You know, two times or three times. Meaning drink and then stop for breathing. And then drink again, stop for breathing. If you want to add more and then stop. That's how the Prophet ﷺ used to do, and this is his advice to all of us. You know. Wasammu idha sharibtu, and say Bismillah when you drink. Say Bismillah when you're drinking. وَأَحْمَدُوا إِذَا رَفَعْتُمْ, and say Alhamdulillah when you stop drinking, when you finish. You know. That's the least you can do, Iwallah, to appreciate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْدِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. Iwallah. Are we the one who are bringing the water down from the clouds, heavy clouds? No, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah refused to make it happen, we are gone. Nobody can live because we cannot survive without water. How many days you can live without water? I think they said maximum 3 days, right? Yeah, mostly 3 days. Without drinking water completely. Food you can take a bit longer than that. As long as you have water. We have one of our scholars who stayed away from drinking, from eating for 40 days. He has some illness, some sickness. And the doctor advised him to stay away from food for 40 days. And he did. Yeah, it was very tough, but he did. And he said, Alhamdulillah, after those 40 days, the problem was gone completely. You know. So you can stay away from food, but water, you can't. And you can see the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made one of the cheapest thing in every country you go, is water. One of the cheapest thing is water. Yeah, if you don't want the clean one, just go to the well and the river and drink, you know, it'd be like the villages, free of charge. And even if you want the clean one, you see, with 50 cents, one ringgit, you can get water. Yeah. So that's mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which most of us are not thinking about this. Yeah. The scholar said that is something which is more necessary to us and to our life than water. What is that? The air. That's why this one, we can have control over it. The fresh one, right? The good one. Yeah, if you don't pay the bill, the water will be cut. But did you ever see a country where if you don't pay the bill of the air, you're breathing? They stop you from breathing? No matter how much they hate you, they cannot tell you don't breathe. They cannot stop the air from reaching you. SubhanAllah. Wallahi, this is a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only this, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide us with other creation around us that are taking the bad air we are taking out of us, because the air, the oxygen, is also created by Allah. It will finish. You get it? You are taking, we're consuming. That's why if you go to some places, there is no way for the oxygen to come in the aeroplane. Sometimes the oxygen will be very low. Yeah? They tell you how to get more. That's when it could finish. Yeah, this is very obvious with us because it is created by Allah. And you can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and aid us by providing us with other creation around us who are looking for that which we are taking out, the carbon dioxide. So they take it and they give us back the fresh one. Subhanallah. That's how we live in. So all of these, my dear brothers and sisters, are for us to see how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us, and then relate this love, intensive amount of love, which cannot be comprehended, by any one of us except to just say Alhamdulillah, we have Allah Rabbul Alameen, who stands for everyone. Iwallah. The least you can do is to say Alhamdulillah. Yeah, the least you can do is to say Alhamdulillah when you benefit from this. You remember that scholar that we always mention his story, that told a leader, one of the leaders who asked him to advise him. He said, please give me an advice. He said, he looked at the place where that leader was sitting on the table, there was a glass of water. So he asked him, he said, sir, if you couldn't find half of this cup of water, what would you pay to get it? He said, I would pay half of my kingdom. I would give half of my kingdom to get half of a glass of water. He said, okay, that's fine. What if the water gets inside you and it refuses to come out? How much would you pay to get it out? You know the food we eat, the water we drink? Not all of them. It has to go out. Yeah. I was told that in some places in the past, long ago, they will take a person and put him in jail. Okay? Those bad people, they'll put him in jail. Let him get hungry, you know, and thirsty, you know, for days. So when he's in need of water, they will come and feed him with a lot of water. And they will do everything possible to make sure that he doesn't pass urine. And then later on, the urine will turn into poison and kill him. He will die because of this. Iwallah, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the food which we eat, which is not good for our health, Allah provide us with a system that take it out. You know, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes out of the bathroom, he says, Ghufranak. Some scholars said, Allahu alam, Allah knows why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making istighfar right after coming out of the bathroom. Some of them said, maybe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is remembering the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we're still not doing enough. You know, because the food you eat, you need to take out the one that is not good. And Allah provide us with a very easy system for us to get it, to get rid of. So he told the king, he said, if you couldn't find this glass of water, how much should you pay for half of it? He said, half of my kingdom. He said, what if you got the water, you drank it, but it doesn't want to go out? What would you do to get it out? He said, I will pay the other half of the kingdom. Allah, this is hikmat al-ulama. He got what he is looking for. So he told the leader, the king, he told him, he said, sir, inna mulkan la yusawi qarurata ma lahariyun an yuzhalifi. He said, sir, a kingdom that is not even equivalent to one glass of water in terms of value, definitely is something that you should be staying away from it. Shouldn't fight for it. Iwallah, it's a very true and excellent nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So please do remember this, you know, when you eat, whatever you eat and say Bismillah, that's the least you can do. And whenever you finish eating or drinking, say Alhamdulillah, that's the least you can do to appreciate that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing for you. Wa an Abi Qatada anna an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yatanaffasa fil ina. Abu Qatada said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the believers not to breathe inside the cup or whatever container they're using to drink water. Not to breathe inside. You have to take your mouth and take your nose outside first, breathe and then come back to it. قال وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتي بلبن قد شيب بماء وعن يمينه أعرابي وعن يساره أبو بكر فشرب ثم أعطى الأعرابي وقال الأيمن فالأيمن. أنس بن مالك said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, I was there when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was brought, you know, they brought him قدح من فيه لبن فيهما أتي بشراب فشرب. So they gave him a drink, لبن or whatever they brought him. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم drank from it. And then after he drank from it, at the right side of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was a Bedouin, somebody from the village. And those on the left side, they were Abu Bakr and the rest. You can see shittana ma bayna thuriyyati wa thara. The distance, the gap is like between the heavens and the earth. a Bedouin and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Even the whole Ummah, you know, all of us were not equal to Abu Bakr. But you think of Bedouin. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because in Islam, the right takes preference first. So he gave it to the Arabi first, drunk it, and then passed it to others. Because he was on the right side. ثم أعطى العربي وقال الأيمن فالأيمن. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we start with the right, and then the one on the right, the one on the right of that person as well. So when he got this laban, you know, not any sharab, it was laban, the milk. Got shiba bima, it was mixed with the water. And he passed it to the Bedouin first before anybody else. وعن سهل بن سعد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتي بشراب فشرب منه وعن يمينه غلام وعن يساره أشياخ فقال للغلام أتأذن لي أن أعطي هؤلاء فقال الغلام لا والله لا أوثر بنصيبي منك أحدا فتله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في يده. سهل بن سعد said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on one occasion was given a drink. They gave him a drink, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank from it. And on his right side, there was a young boy, and that was Abdullah ibn Abbas. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he finished, he saw all the people on the right, there, Abu Bakr, Umar, and the rest of the big companions. So he told that boy, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, Ya Ghulam, he said, boy, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, would you allow me to pass it to them first before you? SubhanAllah. And this is Abdullah ibn Abbas, right? Young in terms of size, but brain, mental wise, is not. You know? So he says, Ya Rasulullah, not for this. SubhanAllah. He said, not for leftover. Something that comes from you, the balance, and I give it to somebody else. He said, not for this, Ya Rasulullah. He said, I want my right. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed it to him first, and then he gave it to the rest. So that shows that it is recommended that whenever you drink something, if you want to pass it to others, even if on your right side is a young person, you pass it to him first. Or you do like what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Ask his permission first. If he refuses, then give it to him then, those on his right side, until it reaches those people who you want to give. So it's good for the big people to sit on the right side then, to avoid this conflict. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us. And may Allah grant us ability to stick to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of our affairs. إنه بكل جميل كثير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Da'ul istiftah is a sunnah to be practiced in the prayer. It doesn't affect the validity of the prayer. It will reduce the value of the prayer because a person will lose rewards. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does da'ul istiftah whenever he prays. But it doesn't affect the validity of the prayer. So a person should try his best not to forget it, to perfect his reward in the prayer, inshallah. But it doesn't necessitate sujood sahw when somebody forgets it. Yeah. That's the best opinion of the scholars, inshallah. The other question is about a brother who is advising his sister to wear hijab and she doesn't. Hijab is an honor and a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. Allah commanded them to dress properly in the way of the hijab, bring it from head to toe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to cover themselves. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mar'atu awra. So she should cover herself whenever she goes out. This is the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَا فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. This is the best and the only way for them to be recognized and protected. Iwallah is a big protection. After religion, one of the biggest protection the sister has is a hijab. You know, that's why not wearing hijab is going to put a sister under a threat from any criminal. Yeah. That's why the one who has hijab, this haybah, this prestige is there. Even the bad ones, you know, it's not easy for them to approach her with any bad thought or evil intention. That's why you rarely hear those people in hijab and they preserve their honor and dignity and they act decently. You rarely hear them getting into trouble in this dunya. So that brother should be patient, keep advising her. She doesn't know the value of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked her to do. He shouldn't get bored, keep advising. Today she doesn't accept, inshallah, tomorrow she will. If she doesn't accept tomorrow, he should keep doing. Then don't stop it, you know, until the time she changes. And he should understand that he's her brother. And most likely she might accept things from others without respecting what he says because of that relationship between them. That's why he has to use wisdom and leniency. And be very gentle and very soft and do it friendly. Do it as a friend, not as a commander. Even though if he is a big and older brother, but he should be approaching her in a very friendly way, inshallah. And he asked that if she refused to wear the hijab, can he stay away from going out with her if they happen to go out? Yes. It's not good for him to be found because the community also might have negative thought about him. And it's not good also for somebody who is committing sin. At a time when they are committing the sin, a person should cooperate with them. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So we shouldn't. So it should be part of his advice to tell her that I can't. Yeah, I know you don't understand what I'm saying, but please, I apologize. I can't go out. You should go in. You know, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq.
So in this case, the brother, if he feels shame because your family member is doing sin, is that right or is that wrong? The shame that you feel for other people's sins.
Yeah, no, because he's part of the family, right? Yes, of course, whatever they did, it will come back to him. And trust me, when he goes out with them, in that the community is going to look at him as somebody who tolerates what has been done. And those who can have the courage to ask him, they might call him and ask him why this is happening. So it's good for him to intensify the advice and be patient and also lenient, soft, gentle, use wisdom whenever he approaches them. Because trust me, they don't understand the value of what they are invited to. That's why they are doing what they do, inshallah. And also he should always remember that this is his family member, this is his sister. He shouldn't be happy to see her getting into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. May Allah grant us good. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.